help you out with that.
TobiasComerLaw.com. Call him 251-432-5001.
Turning up your voice. FM Talk 1065. WAVH FM. Daphne Mobile.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. Investigators say the woman arrested in an alleged ISIS-inspired terror plot in New York purchased bomb-making materials and had planned to attack the state capitol at Albany.
As alleged in the complaint, Ms. Bowie swore her allegiance to ISIS through multiple audio recordings in both English and Arabic. She clearly stated her desire to carry out an attack at the New York State Capitol.
John Sarcone with the U.S. Attorney's Office for New York's Northern District.
In her own words, as alleged in the criminal complaint, she said, quote, "I want to destroy as much of the building as possible and kill the senators while they are meeting. I want them to lose a lot of important documents."
The suspect, 35-year-old Jessica Bowie of Albany, allegedly visited the Capitol complex multiple times, scoping out the place, taking photos. She had allegedly planned to conceal a bomb in a DoorDash bag delivered to the Capitol. Last night, it was the Northeast's turn to take a beating at the hands of powerful storms at Atlantic Beach, York. There was flooding in New Jersey. It stranded dozens of motorists in their vehicles. And in Dover, Delaware, a suspected tornado caused a good deal of damage citywide. Tens of thousands of people in Indiana still without power, that more than a week after strong storms roared through the state. No survivors reported in the crash of a charter flight. It went down in remote western Alaska. The plane, which took off from Anchorage, crashed about 450 miles west of there. The National Transportation Safety Board, as well as the Federal Aviation Administration, are involved in the investigation of that deadly crash in Alaska. On Wall Street, stocks sharply higher this morning. The Dow is up 417 points. The Nasdaq ahead 96, and the S&P is trading 38 points higher. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Full speed into summer, and if you're thinking about buying a home this year, here's what you need to do first. Get pre-qualified, not once you've found the house, now before you even start looking. Here's why. In this market, houses sell in days, sometimes hours. The buyers who win aren't the ones with the highest offer. They're the ones already approved, ready to move, with a lender who can actually close. If you're not pre-qualified, you're a week behind. Maybe that house is gone. Well, I want to tell you about Fellowship Home Loans. For over 20 years, my friends Mike and Brian, guys that I've worked with, they've built Fellowship around one thing, getting loans done for real families with unique situations. They use programs and options that typical lenders don't take the time to explore. Down payment solutions that fit the way people actually live. Everything's done in-house, one roof, one team, all with a servant-led mentality. Get pre-qualified today. Go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG or call 800-510-MIKE. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
The U.S. and South Korea have wrapped up their annual military drill 6 days early.
The U.S. and South Korean militaries were supposed to carry out 11 days of simulated North Korean attacks, but the exercise wrapped up on Friday. Just before it began on Monday, President Donald Trump ordered the Pentagon to substantially reduce the exercise, saying he had a good relationship with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, and South Korea had refused to support him over the war in Iran. The North says ending the annual drill 6 days early is not enough to persuade it to return to talks. The U.S. Pacific Command says the U.S. remains committed to the defense of the U.S. homeland and its allies in the region. I'm Donna Water.
Search teams have found the body of American climber Mallory Geis, the last missing member of the 10-member international team killed in an avalanche on Broad Peak. Local volunteers discovered her remains, according to the president of the Alpine Club of Pakistan. Townhall.com. There are hefty fines for two NFL teams following a brawl during a joint practice.
The Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints have each been fined $500,000 apiece by the NFL after their fight-filled joint practice. The league announced the fines after requesting video of the tumultuous workout at the Cowboys training camp base in California. Saints tight end Brock Recksteiner body slammed Cowboys safety Jalen Thompson. Saints center Eric McCoy threw a Cowboys home helmet high in the air during one scrap, while McCoy and Cowboys linebacker Donovan Ezeraku threw punches at each other in an ugly sequence that ended with Ezeraku getting thrown out of practice for the second time during camp. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Meta continues to defend itself in a federal court against allegations from four states that its social media business harms the mental health of young people. More on these stories, townhall.com.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the mid-90s. Tonight, a few evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a slight chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm and highs in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. What are you doing on Saturday morning, say at 10 a.m.? Well, my name is Randy Bergen, and I'm the host of Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show, and I want to personally invite you to join me, golf pro Bobby Hall, and the cast of characters, along with some big names in sports, each and every Saturday morning. We'll talk sports the way you talk sports, and we'll have fun along the way. So hang out with us this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. It is the fastest hour in radio, and it lives right here on FM Talk 106.5.
From Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between, an insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Friday morning. So come on to program. Philip Insler, that's in about 30 minutes from now, will join us. He is the Democrat nominee for lieutenant governor here in Alabama. Also on the program, Chris Elliott, our returning champion state senator from Josephine, will make time for us. And then and also in the 11 o'clock hour, at the bottom of the hour there, United States Senator Tommy Tuberville, the Republican gubernatorial nominee in Alabama. So please stick around for that. 251-343-0106. We need to be in touch with the show. Hit me up on the text line. We're going to roll through some text here. Jason says, good morning, Jeff. Isn't Buffett a better suited name as on a park or building? And wouldn't that just open the door for the Wet Willie Causeway and a Red Clay roundabout? Well, here's the question. And you know, Jimmy Buffett's probably one of these guys who polled really well. I mean, you know, he had his left-leaning tendencies. Does he measure, I mean, where does he measure up in Alabama lore? Where does he measure up in Gulf Coast lore? Where you know, and you know, naming the bridge after somebody, and the same is true with Trump. But really evaluate these iconic figures in culture and politics, et cetera. And then really, I mean, and I think this is something when you're talking billions of dollars, it's not just a throwaway thing. But it is, it's important to consider. We're not just naming a roundabout or, you know, this is pretty massive here. Is it appropriate? And to name it after anybody. These are just ideas people are throwing out. I think I understand the Barry Moore angle here, that there could be a financial incentive or a political incentive for that matter. But I know that's just me speculating, but it's something maybe we build the bridge first. Who knows what, you know, turmoil lies ahead with the construction of this bridge. These big billion-dollar projects, infrastructure projects, rarely go as planned. And you think about the Big Dig in Boston. This was the Ted Kennedy legacy project. you're going from Logan into Boston, and you go through these series of tunnels. That was the big deal, and it was just fraught with delays and problems and cost overruns. Government just not good at this. So it might be appropriate to kind of wait and see once the bridge is built to start kind of talking about that. Because, like I said, the Barry Moore thing, I think, was maybe had a different motivation here. But just in general, it's not as if, hey, let's go ahead and start getting, let's put the cart before the horse. Buddy writes, Barner's imitated the capstone again. Bama has been bringing in the million dollar band for years. Try to keep up, Barners. They have, when I saw that, what they did at Auburn, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the first time that had been done. We live in buddy, because we live in this era of kind of this digital era now, where that may be the first time it's been captured on like social media. I know my experience 2 years of the Auburn marching band was Terry Bowden coming to talk. It seems like we did it for the basketball team, maybe, when Cliff Ellis was there. The pep band did. But I don't think it's an imitation necessarily. It's just the it catches on online, and for the first time, the public is really made aware of it. Let's continue on here. Fire Dog. There is a remedy for politicians not doing what the constituents want, vote against them. I don't understand why this seems to be a hard concept. What if you promised something and they don't deliver? That's a real thing. But Fire Dog, we also have like kind of a low engagement. How many people are really that upset? And I don't even think it's this, Fire Dog. It's a lot of times these lawmakers, especially in this third party PAC era, advertise themselves as conservative fighters. This is what really kind of stuck in my crawl a little bit. That we're being inundated with pictures of lawmaker XYZ aside Donald Trump. And we're hearing rhetoric. This is the guy that the fighter that Donald Trump needs, which is, based on polling, a very effective way of promoting that candidate. And then we had during the special session back in May, what did they do? They were redistricting, and this is all very important. Going from 5-2 split to potentially a 7-0 split, what ended up being a 6-1 split in the end. But they were, these conservative quote unquote fighters were given marching orders. They put a gag order on their own members not to talk about this. And you would approach these lawmakers, I can't talk about that. So I think it's like there's a branding thing going on, and then there's like the reality. And people maybe aren't connecting the dots. And you're right. There is the elections are the ultimate accountability measure. But you got to keep in mind, sometimes the candidates have already been set in stone. They've already had candidate qualifying that you don't really, when it comes time to start thinking about these things in an election, the slate is set. There's a system in place that makes it very easy for candidates to make promises, get elected, and not really live up to their billing. And like part of like kind of talking about this and raising awareness of it is pointing it out that maybe in future elections that this will, people will take notice of this. That you have all, you have a lot of messaging efforts in legislative bodies. It's true in Congress. The difference in Alabama, they can message on a bill like the SAVE Act or whatever in Washington, D.C., knowing that it's probably not going to get passed. In Alabama, if they message on a bill, it's got to get passed because you have one party control. And if a supermajority Republican Party is messaging on, we're going to do this, well, then you better do it. But also that also entails an understanding of the legislative process. So I think it's a little more complicated than that, but it ultimately you're right. Sean writes, all the Buffett fans will be dead in 10 years and the bridge still won't be done. I feel like there's sort of a timelessness to Jimmy Buffett, though. How old is Margaritaville? How old is Pencil Thin Mustache? How old are these songs? They're sort of like Hank Williams Jr. Like, these are songs you just know. Mike, also with the, let's see, Ted Cruz sponsored the bill because Texas Tech billionaire booster supports it. And also donates heavily to the Cruz and Paxton campaigns. Also with the new bridge, I think we should wait until it is built and call it what reminds us of it with like the Wilson Bridge that everyone calls the Dolly Parton Bridge. It's like, well, Atlanta got Spaghetti Junction, but that's not really what its real name is. They, you know, these scenes have a way of adopting their own names, and whatever the legislature deems it to be called, it doesn't necessarily stick. You know, somebody texted you in yesterday, said, well, we'll still call it the Bayway. Probably so. Like when Kay does his traffic report. Coming across to Jimmy Buffett here, a 7-minute delay or something. I mean, do we think that's how that's going to work someday? The Texas Tech thing, you're spot on about that, Mike. You know, one billionaire who looked at the Texas Tech situation and was like, all right, and I think this is going to be a short-lived era in college football. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where we could spend as much as we want on our college program. And that's what they did. They opened this one billionaire said, it's not going to be like this forever. We got to seize on this, and we just funnel all the cash we need, get the players we think they could win, and Texas Tech had a good run. But they did an interview. I think it's a Wall Street Journal story. I can't recall, but this is what he said. He said, you know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to win a national championship at my alma mater. And they pumped a bunch of cash into it. It didn't work out. But it was sort of like, okay, we have boosters who don't have really any spending limitations, and we could figure out a way to get the players we need to come to Lubbock. So I think something will be done ultimately. This won't go on this way forever. But there's also like kind of a political hyperbole to it that plays well, I think, with some voters, and maybe that has something to do with it. Tony, I think believe the safest way to go naming the bridge is a local veteran who gave their life in one of our recent conflicts. You're probably right, but what they want to do, I think there's a real desire to win over political support here. And I think that has a lot to do with some of this naming discussion right now. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get...
Hear the scores and the biggest sports news to start your day.
Reddick slides up in front of Larson, and the pole sitter is going to come to the line for win number five.
Sports with Dalton Orwig, only on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning, I'm Shabani Baker for WKRG News 5. The Mobile Planning Commission rejects an effort to expand a mobile home park near BC Rain High School. The owners of Sea Pines Trailer Park, currently zoned for 133 mobile homes, asked city leaders to expand that to 447, but after hearing from Sea Pines representatives and those opposed to the plan, commissioners rejected it by a unanimous vote. Termite damage at one of the oldest schools in Mobile. County officials are calling for emergency repairs at the historic Murphy High School after termite damage was found in the school's library and computer lab. We are told both are off limits until repairs are made and that the board is currently accepting construction bids. The First Alert Storm Team is heading to the Greers on McMeans Avenue in Baymanet next Wednesday. It's the final stop of this year's weather radio programming tour. They'll be there from 3 to 7, and the first 50 people in line will receive free batteries. For WKRG News 5, I'm Shimani Baker.
This Bill Finch Garden Tip is brought to you by Robertsdale Power Equipment. Your full-line sales and service dealer for all lawn and garden brands, Robertsdale Power Equipment, Highway 59 South, right at the split by the Catholic Church.
Cute little bunny rabbits. They'll flat eat you out of house and home. We've lost a tremendous number of plants to rabbits at Mobile Botanical Gardens. Can't shoot them. Too many to trap. We've even tried coyote urine. Unfortunately, it's more unpleasant for people than it is for the rabbits. A full-time yard dog or a small fence are the best defense against rabbits. I made a neat temporary rabbit fence out of chicken wire. Turn the wire into a cylinder that you can roll around the yard. The combination of height and width seems to be too much for rabbits.
Are you missing too much of what you enjoy in life because of yard work? Robertsdale Power Equipment and Skag are here to help. Skag lawnmowers boast the power, speed, and performance to help you get the lawn cut fast so you can enjoy more free time. Not only will you save time, but your lawn will look better than ever. Lawn maintenance pros have counted on Skag mowers and Robertsdale Power Equipment for four decades, and so can you. Skag offers a full line of commercial grade and residential mowers and accessories, so you're sure to find the model that's right for you. Robertsdale Power Equipment is your certified dealer for all Skag products. Plus, they employ master technicians qualified for every machine Skag makes and more. Proudly made in the USA, Skag is simply the best mower you can buy. Visit Robertsdale Power Equipment today and see how they can help you with all your lawn and garden needs and discover the Skag difference. Robertsdale Power Equipment, Highway 59 South, right at the split by the Catholic Church, or online at robertsdalepower.com.
Spend more time making your business money and less time on things that don't. Outsourcing your payroll and HR could single-handedly allow you to shift your focus to more productivity and higher returns for your business. Coastal HR has been providing personalized, cost-effective payroll and HR solutions to Mobile and Baldwin County businesses for over 25 years. Learn how Coastal HR can help you simplify your payroll, lessen administrative downtime, and get back to what you do best. Schedule a free consultation today at 478-7444 or visit coastal-hr.com.
This summer, FM Talk 106.5 features the America 250 Summer Showcase. To be eligible to win, either send us your patriotic photo on Facebook or visit our sponsor locations and enter. Sponsors include G&D Farms, Cart Doctor, and Piggly Wiggly. One grand prize winner will be drawn August 31st from our weekly winners and location qualifiers. The America 250 Summer Showcase with FM Talk 106.5.
Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand.
There's someone. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? All you got to do is text me a name, texter, or no matter the real name, nickname should be Parrothead. Sounds like a call sign. Maverick Goose, Parrothead. Ben, the first politician that finds the money to pay for the bridge in full with no toll, gets their name on it. Do you want your name on that bridge if it's got an $8 toll, though? Now, I know, like you said, if they figure out a way to get the toll, take it off. Yeah. If you could come up with that kind of dough, absolutely. You're essentially just buying the bridge. But that's the other thing about this. You're driving unsuspectingly from, I don't know, Houston, and you're going down to 30A. You're going to check this spot out. It seems awesome. You're going to Alice Beach or wherever you're going, Seaside. And you're passing through Louisiana, and you get to Mississippi, and you get stuck in traffic, and then you get on into Alabama. And then when you get there, it's this $8 toll. Well, that's okay. I got the Sun Pass, or I got the Easy Pass. All right, it's $7.50. And that seems like something a blue state would do. We're talking like George Washington Bridge. Like, what's going on here? Oh, it's the Donald Trump Bridge. Of course it's the Donald Trump Bridge. They're milking us for, they're nickel and diming us the whole, it's 7 mile span here. And we're still, this is the other thing, guys. And I talk about this all the time. For the last 100 years, they have been trying to concoct a way to get from one side of the bay to the other. They had a system of ferries in the early part of last century. Then they constructed the Causeway and the Cochrane Bridge. They came to Bankhead Tunnel. They came to Wallace Tunnel. They came to New Africatown Cochrane Bridge. And now here we go again. And there's always been traffic, bottleneck, whatever, getting one side to the other. This has been something that has been a challenge for this part of the state for more than a century. Is this going to be the solution that we are all looking for? Once and for all. I mean, I went through some toll plazas on our trip where you did sit there for a good 5-10 minutes trying to get across. Is this going to be more of the same? You know, the toll by plate, and you cross, and then a month later you get a note from the local jurisdiction. Hey, we caught you on the. Hey, how many of you remember when the bridge down at the wharf was tolled, and you went through it, and you got the bill in the mail? You know, we got to do a toll here. I think the consumer's got to be protected, even if you're an out-of-state consumer. The problem with the state, its governance sometimes is a little too myopically focused on the people that live here. You don't want to give the state a bad reputation of just nickel and diming people just passing through. It would be Delaware. That's what they do in Delaware. Interstate 95, which is the main East Coast thoroughfare from Houlton, Maine, all the way to Miami, Florida. And a brief section of it passes through Delaware, just north of Wilmington. And they know a lot of that traffic is D.C., New York bound, Boston bound, you know, along the Eastern Corridor, or the Acela Corridor, I guess. And you pass through Delaware. No one really stops in Delaware. There's no, you know, big draw there. Well, that becomes the reputation of Alabama, just a Dixie Delaware. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Make a little loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life, oh, so right. My Dixieland line.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The premier of a Canadian province has launched a blistering attack on President Trump and urges Canada to keep fighting rather than rush to make concessions. In trade talks with Washington, the Manitoba premier, Wab Kanu, says that his country has leverage in the talks, even as his province weighs restoring U.S. alcohol sales at Prime Minister Mark Carney's urging to help secure a deal that would avert the president's threatened 50% U.S. tariffs on Canadian imports. Last night was the Northeast turn to take a beating at the hands of a powerful storm system. A suspected tornado touchdown at Atlantic Beach, Long Island, flooding in New Jersey, stranded dozens of motorists in their vehicles. No survivors reported in the crash of a charter flight in western Alaska. The plane, which took off from Anchorage, went down about 450 miles west of the city. The NTSB is leading the investigation. This is SRN News.
Full speed into summer, and if you're thinking about buying a home this year, here's what you need to do first. Get pre-qualified. Not once you've found the house, now before you even start looking. Here's why. In this market, houses sell in days, sometimes hours. The buyers who win aren't the ones with the highest offer. They're the ones already approved, ready to move, with a lender who can actually close. If you're not pre-qualified, you're a week behind. Maybe that house is gone. Well, I want to tell you about Fellowship Home Loans. For over 20 years, my friends Mike and Brian, guys that I've worked with, they've built Fellowship around one thing, getting loans done for real families with unique situations. They use programs and options that typical lenders don't take the time to explore. Down payment solutions that fit the way people actually live. Everything's done in-house, one roof, one team, all with a servant-led mentality. Get pre-qualified today. Go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG or call 800-510-MIKE. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 8193.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the mid-90s. Tonight, a few evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a slight chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm and highs in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
At Bryant Bank, when you call, a neighbor answers. Not a machine or outsourced call taker somewhere far away, just a friendly voice from right here in South Alabama. I'm Amanda Gray, and as your local Bryant banker, I'm proud to say we're more than just a bank. We're your neighbors. Our Bryant bankers live here, work here, and we're committed to staying right here for you. Stop by one of our four offices in Baldwin County and Mobile and find out what community banking really means. Bryant Bank, member FDIC.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow truck, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's Move Over Law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Be a Port City Patriot. Join Mr. Mobile, John Young.
We have such evil, vengeful, thoughtless people in our society that must be sequestered.
John Young continues his mission to bring us the truth.
We cannot allow this to exist.
Tonight in Mobile, brought to you by Newdrolix.
I do not accept mental illness as an excuse when you are that thorough and that effective in your plan.
Tonight in Mobile, every Monday night at 8 on FM Talk 106.5.
More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Still a couple of the program here in about 30 minutes. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, And then at the bottom of the next hour, our senior United States senator and gubernatorial candidate on a Republican ticket, Tommy Tuberville, will be with us, so stick around for that. But joining us now, always a pleasure. I believe we've had one in the past, but he's making time for us this morning. He's a state lawmaker from Montgomery, but he's also the lieutenant gubernatorial nominee for the Democrat Party. Philip Ensler joins us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, great to be on, and appreciate you having me on again. And look, I'll never forget, you had me on a few years ago after the October 7th attack, terrorist attack in Israel, and when there was a rise in anti-Semitism, you know, on college campuses and here in the States, and you reached out and had me on, and I really appreciate how supportive you were then and had the chance to talk about such an important issue.
Yeah, and thanks at the time. I know it was like a real sensitive time, and people were kind of on edge, but, you know, I hopefully things have kind of settled down. We'll get into that in just a moment. First, I want to talk about your candidacy here. In case people are interested, give us a little bit about your background and why are you running for this office?
Yeah, a few reasons. So by way of background, I've been in the legislature for the last 4 years, representing a district here in Montgomery, and really proud to have worked, you know, well with Democrats and Republicans to get some meaningful stuff done, things like expanding access to mental health services, things like cutting the tax on overtime pay. Have really worked well with people in both the House and Senate. I'm attorney by background. I also lead, it's called the Jewish Federation of Central Alabama. But before all of that, taught public school in Montgomery for a few years and do a lot of work with our young people to help mentor and expose them to different opportunities. But now running for lieutenant governor. And look, let me, you know, just get to it and be really blunt. I know there was a article a few days ago in 1819 about from Joey Clark talking about, you know, that I'm running for this and assigning all sorts of ridiculous motives. And on a very personal level, I share this. My dad passed away a few years ago in New York. We were incredibly close. And I had a hard time with his passing. A lot of his family, his relatives, cousins of mine, aunts, uncles, all live in New York. And in having a hard time with his passing, I had made the announcement last summer that I was gonna move there to be, you know, closer to them. But that decision really did not sit well with me. Alabama has become home. I love it here. I love serving here. I am absolutely committed to staying here and serving here. So that article by Joey, and let me say, I love going on Joey's show. We've had great conversations over the years. I've been honored to represent him. He lives in my district. But I was really disappointed in a narrative being put out there that's just absolutely not true. I love Alabama and willing to and going to continue living here, serving here, fighting for the people.
Well, what, you know, this is the kind of question I ask a lot of candidates coming on the show. You're out and about the state, presumably campaigning. What are you hearing? I mean, and especially as it pertains to the role of lieutenant governor, which seems to be, you know, over the last 20, 30 years, kind of a waning office as far as power goes. But you still have a say. You still have a bully pulpit there. What are some maybe objectives here you would hope to accomplish if elected?
Yeah, I've been to 42 counties and going to all 67, and have been, you know, cities, rural areas, everywhere in between. And people are hurting financially. They are having a hard time paying their utility bills. People are having a hard time buying groceries, buying prescription drugs. So people are really looking for some relief, and people that are busting their butts, they're working so hard. You know, these are patriotic, you know, people that are doing everything they can, but it's just not enough to always pay the bills. So we have to do things like cut more taxes in the state. It's ridiculous that we still have a grocery tax. You have working class and middle class people that you know, can and shouldn't be paying an income tax. We have this tax on overtime, so people that are working harder. And those are some of the main things. I mean, healthcare is a big one. Obviously, hospital closures and not having access to emergency services in a lot of these rural areas. And as lieutenant governor, I have great relationships in the Senate. I work really well with Senate President Garland Gudger in the House, work well with Speaker Ledbetter, work well with the budget chairs, Arthur Orr and Danny Garrett on the education side. So there are so many things that on not even on day one in January, but if elected in November, I would start working with them to where we have common ground. And obviously, as lieutenant governor, I couldn't introduce legislation myself, but I have great relationships with colleagues where I can work with them for them to introduce things that are going to provide relief, going to help put more money in people's pockets, that are going to help keep hospitals open, that are going to help make sure we have safe neighborhoods. And that's what I really intend to do as lieutenant governor.
It's interesting when you talk about it, and whenever I have Leader Daniels on, and you know that the Democrats in the state, a big part of the discussion when they come on this show, which, you know, I don't get as many Democrats, but that they talk about cutting taxes, and that's not historically necessarily a Democrat thing, but you find that to be kind of a reoccurring theme here, that you guys on the Democrat side, while in the super minority, y'all really kind of figured out that, like, that there seems to be some fruit on the vine here that could be harvested. And I find, you know, Republicans, maybe they will pay lip service to it. They'll talk about tax relief. But really, you guys, like, have really honed in on the grocery tax, on overtime tax. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. And it's something that it's not a Democrat or Republican issue. I mean, cutting taxes is that, I mean, yes, we need some funds to pay for services and public safety and schools and hospitals, but for working and middle-class Alabamians, I mean, they need tax relief and they're hurting at the gas pump. You know, these tariffs are hurting our farmers. I travel a lot with Ron Sparks, the former and hopefully future ag commissioner. And we talk to farmers and they're hurting from the tariffs. I know that they pay taxes on farm equipment and that's hurting. So these are things that we want to help provide some economic relief, help people have more money in their pockets. And the tax cuts, it should be something where Democrats and Republicans come together. And as lieutenant governor, I'm going to fight really hard. And again, you know, leverage those relationships I have to try to get some of those things through.
Well, can you, like, specifically start pinpointing, like, where would be some areas of tax relief? And obviously we mentioned overtime and grocery tax. Is there more there possibly?
Yeah. So the grocery tax has been, it is crazy that we still have that. And that is one that we should absolutely get rid of. And I wouldn't even say just start with that. I mean, we can, you know, get rid of the grocery tax. We should make it that the tax on overtime wages is completely exempt. I think that, you know, looking at reducing or eliminating the income tax for working and middle class people is absolutely something. And look, we have to do these in a fiscally responsible way where we still need to have the funding to, you know, pay for education, pay for healthcare, pay for police and roads and bridges. Another tax cut, though, I would say that sales tax on farm equipment, our farmers that are such a backbone of our state, we shouldn't be taxing them on equipment that they're buying to try to do their work. So those are a few places to start. But I think looking at all of it as a whole, you know, makes a lot of sense. And I'll add in, you know, one way, because I often get asked, well, if we cut taxes, how do you deal with the missing revenue?
Right.
I've been a staunch advocate for a lottery, and I proposed last session a lottery bill that it should go to the voters have a say. And if the people of Alabama want a lottery, let them vote on it. And we're missing out on hundreds of millions of dollars. And the reality is people are going to all of the surrounding states and we're just missing out on money right here. So we should cut taxes, but also give the people a chance to vote on a lottery and potentially bring in some revenue that way.
Well, how do you do this? Now, there's a constitutional prohibition on gambling or games of chance, I think, as it says in the Constitution. You change that, it opens the door for a lottery, but all these other forms of gambling. And then, you know, the one that really, the possibility of sports betting, the proliferation of that, everybody with their cell phones, or, you know, casino gambling, seeing that showing up in people's neighborhoods who may not want that. That seems to be, like, really, the lottery does really well when you pull it. It's these other forms of gambling that are going to kind of, like, hitched your wagon to that. Is that part of the plan too?
So I think that we should have and this is why I proposed what I call a clean lottery bill. So a lottery bill that is just focused on completely that. I do support other gaming and gambling options. It is happening in our state. It's just that it is happening secretly and then arguably illegally at this point. So to have a more legalized and transparent system where, one, the state can collect some tax revenue on that, but also bring it out of the shadows. So, and I understand that there are concerns if people don't want that in their area. And I think that that's where, you know, having some local say right now, city councils and county commissions in the state have so little input or a lack of input because a lot is controlled by the state. So I think looking at giving more local input, and that also ties in to the data center issue. It makes me think of that you have a lot of people that don't want data centers in their communities. I've been in Lowndes County quite a bit. I know in North Mobile County and the Mount Vernon area that they're very concerned about one there. And I think that something the lieutenant governor can do is advocate for more local control, where county commissions have more say on zoning and what happens and what comes into communities. So as far as, you know, gaming and those operations and casinos, I don't think we should, you know, just blanket the state and put them everywhere. But we should give people on a local level some input on it and be really thoughtful about how we do it. But at the end of the day, you know, gaming and gambling is happening, and we need to bring it out of the shadows.
Joined by State Representative Philip Insler. He is a Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor here in Alabama. We talked about this, the lead here, the October 7th attacks. And I, you know, there was a tangible sort of anti-Semitism. And I don't know it's necessarily as much of it in Alabama as there are in other places. It seems like it's maybe, you know, I'm personally not, you know, aware of it, but maybe there's still these sort of waves of it going around. But do you feel like that's settling down? Like, where do you think things are on that topic?
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking that. And anti-Semitism is everywhere. It is in the United States. It's in every state. It's all throughout the world, but it has not been nearly as bad in Alabama as it has been in other parts of the U.S. And I'm really grateful for that. And I contribute a lot of that to the people of Alabama. And, you know, overwhelmingly, people in our state are supportive of the Jewish community. They have been very understanding and have reached out after the October 7th terrorist attacks in Israel. So there was that wave on college campuses, especially, and throughout the country for a couple of years. It is not as bad as it was, but we absolutely have to be vigilant about it. And I'm very clear, whether it's anti-Semitism from the far right, from the far left, from whoever it is, it's wrong, and we have to condemn it. And there's absolutely no place from it in either party or anywhere in our world or country.
What do you think it's, you know, someone seems to me it's kind of generated by foreign policy, what's going on in the Middle East. And, you know, right now it's a hot spot. But there seems to be, you know, I've been traveling a bit over the last couple of years around the country, and you do see these protests, you know, anti-Israel protests where they're potentially conflating Jewish Americans with Israel. But, you know, that aside, it seems like a lot of this is kind of spurred on by what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah, and look, as someone running for lieutenant governor, I am super focused on the issues in our state and what would be within my control as lieutenant governor. Obviously, lieutenant governor has no role in foreign policy. But to your point that, yeah, there are protests that do stem from what's happening overseas. And I think right here in Alabama, you know, the things that I'm really proud of and that we can continue to do. I serve on the Alabama Holocaust Commission with David Faulkner and Danny Garrett and Jabbo Wagner from the legislature, and, you know, doing things like teaching Holocaust education and, you know, focusing on how do we combat anti-Semitism. But look, people should be able to criticize government here in the States. They should be able to criticize foreign government. It just shouldn't cross the line to, right, conflating it with a people and targeting Jewish people as a whole because of their disagreements with the decisions of a foreign government.
Well, and I guess this will be the final question on this. We'll wrap it up here. But do you think, I don't know that it's necessarily there's an awareness of the plight of the Jewish people. I mean, yes, we talk a lot about the Holocaust. And you know, World War II, even in my lifetime, it's becoming kind of a distant memory. But there's a historical legacy here that has to be acknowledged. And I just wonder if, you know, people are necessarily aware of that. And maybe that has something to do with it. And that needs to be kind of part of the education, you know. And you're a teacher. Do these conversations come up enough, you think, in our education system?
Yeah, so the state adopted some of the strongest in the country Holocaust education standards. And you know, I really applaud the State Board of Education and Dr. Mackey and so many others that, you know, were a part of that. And that will help tremendously. And look, educating people on true history and on facts for, you know, certainly the Holocaust and Jewish people, but for any part of history, that I think makes people more open-minded and more accepting of people when they know that history. And it's so important we teach it. Again, I'm really proud and grateful that the state has a strong Holocaust Commission, and what I think we need to continue to do is, in general, strengthen our public schools, to make sure that we're giving teachers a pay raise, and our retirees are having a hard time. So all around, having a strong education system, you know, will help when it comes to our young people and future generations knowing everything they need to know.
Representative, folks want to find out more about your candidacy, your campaign, or any of that, how can they do so?
They can go to my website. It's philipensler.com. So PHILLIPENSLER. And look, I'll wrap up, you know, again by saying this, and I appreciate, Jeff, you having me on. Look forward to hopefully coming on again. And people in Alabama are having a tough time. We have an amazing state. We have a lot of great things happening. People are hurting financially, though, and we need to do everything we can. As Lieutenant Governor, I'm going to keep fighting for all people, make sure that we're providing some economic relief, making sure that we're fighting to keep hospitals open. And I'll be very clear, the Lieutenant Governor cannot single-handedly do any of those things, but I have those really great relationships in the legislature already, Republicans and Democrats, and I'm going to be ready on day one to do everything we need to advocate for and try to do for the people.
Representative, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Everyone have a great, safe weekend. Take care.
All right. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Eat the girls so far away.
Good morning. I'm Shabani Baker for WKRG News 5. The Mobile Planning Commission rejects an effort to expand a mobile home park near BC Rain High School. The owners of Sea Pines Trailer Park, currently zoned for 133 mobile homes, asked city leaders to expand that to 447. But after hearing from Sea Pines representatives and those opposed to the plan, commissioners rejected it by a unanimous vote. Termite damage at one of the oldest schools in Mobile. County officials are calling for emergency repairs at the historic Murphy High School after termite damage was found in the school's library and computer lab. We are told both are off limits until repairs are made and that the board is currently accepting construction bids. The First Alert Storm Team is heading to the Greers on McMeans Avenue in Baymanet next Wednesday. It's the final stop of this year's Weather Radio programming tour. They'll be there from 3 to 7, and the first 50 people in line will receive free batteries. For WKRG News 5, I'm Shimani Baker.
The topic of retirement can bring about a lot of different emotions. For some, it's exciting. For others, it's terrifying. Gary Garner of Relax and Retire Wealth Management understands the worries about retirement. But what if he could also help retire your worries today at 251-317-2599 and schedule a complimentary phone appointment or visit RelaxRetire.com.
Investment advisory products and services made available through Impact Partnership Wealth, LLC, IPW. Relax and Retire Wealth Management is used for marketing purposes and should not be seen as a guarantee of investment results.
Your chickens just complained about mystery feed. This is Lee from G&D Farms in Tanner Williams, where we grow, harvest, and package our feed right on our farm. My wife's grandfather homesteaded this property in 1929. For chickens, horses, cows, and deer, we don't add fillers, and there's no shelf sitting, so it's always fresh. At G&D, we know what you need based on our years of farming, exactly what you need and why. So come see us at G&D Farms in Tanner Williams. I promise it's worth the trip.
Do you like following your favorite high school sports teams? Do you want to know more about the actions of state, county, and city leaders? Do you want a newspaper that speaks to you and your interests? If you answered yes, you should be reading the Call News.
Since first published in 1897, the Call News has reported on the issues that matter to the people of South Alabama and continues to be ranked as one of Alabama's best weekly newspapers. Purchase the Call News at many grocery and convenience stores in South Alabama, including Walmart, Rouse's, and Circle K's. And if your favorite store doesn't have it, let us know and we'll make it available. If you want the Call News delivered to your home, we can do that too, for less than a dollar per week. Call us today, 251-866-5998. That's 251-866-5998. Or visit us online, thecallnews.com, and get connected to the Call News.
Hey, Mama, it's me. Y'all gonna hunker down for the storm?
Really?
You evacuated and you're almost here? Yeah, no, great. I'll let the missus know. What's that, Mama? How many cats? Oh, my, that's a lot.
Mobile Bay Coins, this is Ron.
Hey, Ron, it's Dave. Have you been following the weather?
Yeah, of course.
I'm on my way over to the shop right now.
What happened?
I just got a call from Mama. She decided to evacuate early with her six cats, two dogs, and her parakeet, Steve.
That's a lot of animals. We lucked out. It's missing our in-laws.
Ron, she's coming here. She's only an hour out, and I need something really nice to have with me when I surprise the missus with the news.
I've got some nice jewelry in hand, and can I suggest you get wine? Lots of wine.
Hopefully, you'll never be in the same situation as Dave. But when you want a unique special gift for any occasion, your first choice should be Mobile Bay Coins.
2204 Government Street. Find them on Facebook and at MobileBayCoins.com.
Then it cried just south of Nashville, and it turned that car around.
He said, this is where you get off, boy, because I'm going back to Alabama. As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, mister, many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Victor, can you make it?
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Coming up here in just a moment, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, and then about 45 minutes or so, we'll hear from Tommy Tuberville, our senior United States Senator. That's at the bottom of the hour. 251-343-0106. Mons writes, I probably burned $8 a gas last time I crossed the Bayway. No wreck, just traffic. Took 2 hours to get from the I-10, I-65 split to Balbus. Yeah, I think at that point, I'm looking at alternatives. This is... Not that any of you need this advice. Those of you cross the bay way more than I do. This is probably like a handful of times a month. But, I mean, you got to have the Waze, or you got to have the Apple Maps or Google Maps up on the phone, on your CarPlay. You got to look at, you just figure it out. I think the traffic dies down once the season's over now and school's back in session. But I feel you, man, Mods. The for a while there, when I first took the gig here at 106.5, we had not bought our house in Fairhope yet, but I was an apartment in Daphne, and I was making that trek across the bay. And it really does eat at the gas tank. And I don't know, even when there was no traffic, going 12, 15 miles versus 12, 15 miles anywhere else was just a sucker punch. But anyway, you're right. burning the gas, getting from point A to point B seems to be a part of it. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll in showers, and pull down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and